feel like this is a holy moment? Has God been talking to you this morning about his love? The dots have fallen off. Isn't that good to know? That's our starting place. That's where life is reborn. And that's where things really begin to happen. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. But if you leave here today and don't hear anything else, hear this. In Jesus, everything is new. It's all new. That's a good place to be. Today we've dedicated to children. So that's what I want to talk about today. Kids and parenting and the love of God and his plan for everybody. When Harmon Killebrew was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1984, he gave a little quip. He said, "My father taught me and my brother to play ball in the front yard. And one day, my mother came out and told him we were ruining the lawn. My father told her, we're raising kids, not grass." Yeah, we know what that means, huh? We're raising kids, not grass. Over at my house, we're raising moles and gophers. Anyhow, the Houston Police Department a number of years ago compiled a list of things to do if you want to raise a delinquent. Maybe you've seen this. Begin in infancy and give the child everything he wants. He'll grow up believing that the world owes him a living. When he picks up bad words, make sure you laugh. That's going to make him think he's cute. Never give him any kind of spiritual training. Wait until he's 21 and let him decide for himself. Avoid the use of the word wrong. That way, he'll grow up with the idea that society is against him and he's being persecuted and picked on. Pick up everything that he leaves lying around the house. Do everything for him so that he'll be very experienced in throwing all the responsibility onto everybody else. Take his side against neighbors, teachers, and policemen. After all, they're all prejudiced against him anyhow. Quarrel frequently, moms and dads, in the presence of your children. In this way, they won't be so shocked when the house is broken up. Give the child all the spending money that he wants. Never let him earn anything on his own. Satisfy his every craving for food, for drink, for comfort. See that his every sensual desire is gratified. Let him consume any and all media that he wants. Be careful that the silverware and the glasses and the plates are all sterilized, but let his mind feast on garbage. Prepare for a life of grief. You're going to get it. Wow. That's from the Houston Police Department. I guess they have some experience with people who have some bad behaviors, don't you think? So those are the things that they've noticed. You don't need to be a Christian to be able to grasp the importance of parental responsibility in raising our kids. The Christian Bible, however, adds a particular significance in raising children from a Christian perspective. Listen to these words that God spoke to a man named Moses centuries ago. He said this, "The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin,'" that just about covers everything, "'but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generations.'" What an interesting thing that God would say about himself. He's a God of love. He's abounding in forgiveness and faithfulness. He's reliable. You can count on him. Just like the little boy in the play went to his maker. The maker said, "I know you by name." Let the dots fall off. The same God says about himself that he's going to pass on from the fathers to the children, to the children's children, to the third and fourth generation, the bad things and the good things. It's all getting passed on. This is how God chose to reveal himself. This is who God says he is. We don't get to invent who he is. He tells us who he is. And he's going to do the things that he says he's going to do. What does all that have to do with parenting? It comes down to this. Friends, parenting isn't for cowards, is it? We have to give an account to a God of love who doesn't excuse, but who does forgive. One insightful instruction that he gives in his Bible is found in what we call the books of wisdom. And I bet you've heard this somewhere along the line, and maybe you knew or maybe you didn't know where it came from. In the book of Proverbs 22 and the very sixth verse, we read these words. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he won't depart from it. Now, I bet everybody hears that one way or another. If you listen to those words, you can hear echoing in them the wisdom that is derived from the revelation of who God is that he gave to Moses. How a parent trains up a child impacts that child way into adulthood and beyond his own life to his kids and their kids. That's a pretty powerful understanding of parenting. Now, when we hear that word train, we hear it in the sense most frequently as the word educate, pass on information, encourage, develop, teach them to eat with their mouth closed and the elbows off the table. That's how we tend to hear that word train. But when a Hebrew parent heard that word, they heard something more than that. They heard it in the sense of initiate or initiation. It's a word that's colored very deeply with an understanding of dedication or consecration to the use of God. He didn't just make us, he made us for a reason. And this is a distinction that goes right to the core of the reason for that child's being. Every child, anywhere on planet Earth, 10 fingers and 10 toes or not, born inside of wedlock or not, to parents of great means or parents of no means at all, under a good government system or under a cruel dictatorship, every single child everywhere is here because someone made him for a reason, knit together by a creator. And as such, the creator has a rightful claim to every child, and every child has marked within him that intrinsic mark that he or she has been made in the image of God. Because of that, every child was made for God's joy and pleasure and smile. Everyone was made to know him. Everyone was made to take delight in him. When we harm a child, we harm a child that God has made. God, who is merciful and abounding in love and faithfulness, who creates no one just for a lark, but he creates everyone with a singular, unique purpose. Everyone. So to train up a child means, very first of all, to acknowledge that this child is not ours. This child doesn't even belong to herself. This child belongs to God. She's been entrusted to our care, and we are held accountable for how we impact her life. God will hold us accountable. The good things and the bad things are going to be passed on. So raising a child then takes on a very significant distinction when we comprehend that our children don't belong to us. They belong to our Creator. And they've been entrusted to our care, and we have to answer to the Eternal Father for how we raise them. That's a very sobering thought, isn't it? This understanding saturates that phrase, train up a child. The phrase that follows it, in the way he should go, is a rich phrase as well. some people read this and they start hearing things like structure and boundaries and rules, do's and don'ts. Raise your children to behave a certain way. Life is about respect and coloring inside the prescribed lines, and doggone it, it's my way. That's how you're to be raised. Other people, however, read this phrase different. They read it and they hear a child's giftedness. That's his way. Skill sets, personality profiles, things like this. As one movie actress said, don't love them for who you want them to be. Love them for who they are. Life isn't about obeying rules. It's about personal fulfillment, development, and purpose. But I think the richness of this phrase goes even deeper than that. Let me tell you a story, if I may. I like stories because I remember stories. I forget PowerPoint bullet points, but I remember stories. Scripture is replete with all kinds of stories about individuals and how they entered the world, the names they were given and the circumstances around their birth. One of these guys was named Methuselah. Maybe you sang a song about Methuselah when you were just a little kid, something about this guy who lived to be 969 years old. People were given names in the Bible for a reason. They were this historical anomaly. Methuselah was given this name. What a funny name. What was his nickname? Meth? Don't meth around with him. You know, his name means man of the dart, or it means his death shall bring. Hey, mom and dad are sitting down deciding, they're going through a list of names, a book of names, and they're looking on, how about Chris? No, what about John? No, how about Bob? I know, here's one, man of the dart. Yeah, how about that? How about his death is going to bring? Let's name him that. Yeah, he's going to bring the death of something. Funny name. But from the very first day, right out of the chute, this guy, you wanted to keep your eyes on him because he was like an arrow that left the archer's bow. Once this man was born, the clock started ticking. Like an arrow that leaves that archer's bow and sails through the air with a trajectory that wasn't going to be veered from, racing without deviation, of course. Once that soaring arrow pierces through the fur and the skin and the tissue and the muscle and penetrates the heart, that's it. It's done. It served its purpose. It's like that alarm clock that goes off in the morning. No alarm clock rings for itself. It rings for the person who's sleeping. It's like that bell that signals the end of a round. And when Methuselah died, there was a time of mourning that lasted for 7 days. People had a chance to cry. They put on their mourning clothes. They stopped eating like they used to. It wasn't a time for festivity. It was a time for grieving. And at the end of 7 days of grieving, it was done. And it started to rain for the first time in history. And it rained. And it rained. And it rained for 40 days and for 40 nights. And everything died. God, who is rich in faithfulness, reliable, you can count on him in his mercy. So that's not the end. And when Noah walked out of that boat, it was a whole new world. Methuselah, man of the dart. His death shall bring the end of something, and something else will start. To raise up a child in the way he should go indicates that every person, every individual, every one of you has a God-given assignment, a unique purpose that's not to be ignored, but it's to be recognized, and it's to be seen, and it's to be noted, and it's to be heard. Train up a child in the way he should go means, first of all, this: heads up, pay attention. Heads up. this is no ordinary child that's been given to you at all. That calls for a parent to go way beyond simply establishing household rules, doing chores, and determining what kind of allowance to give them. It goes way beyond protective boundaries. It goes way beyond passing on traditions and recognizing skill sets and abilities or helping out with homework. It goes way beyond that. It calls for a parent to have a meaningful relationship with God, who created this child who's been entrusted to the parent's care, so that we can get on board with him and his plans and his purposes for this child. That's where it starts. It means parenting is more about knowing God and passing on true wisdom. Son, this is how you live because God is who he says he is. This is how you live because God has made you to be, and he has a unique plan for your life that's yours. Wow. This proverb, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he's old, he won't depart from it, is really exciting. And it's very sobering. As a parent, you've been entrusted with the precious life of someone who has been personally fashioned by Almighty God in every detail, hand-picked, hand-designed, knit together with an eye for what's just right for this one. The right time in history, the right culture, the right family dynamics, the right body, the right personality traits, so that they can learn the right way to live according to the master plan. Discern that way, and in relationship with God, a parent's responsibility is to blossom that child. Blossom that child. And you can be sure, this is the promise, you can be sure that even when that child is old, that purpose, that plan, and that significance is still going to be there. It's not going away. So, how's your relationship with God these days? Is it a Sunday morning, 1 hour a week kind of a thing? Is there some way that you've been neglecting the Father of all mankind? A relationship with God isn't something that you earn, like you earn a paycheck. It's not something you get, like a college degree after sitting in a class for a number of days. A relationship with God is a gift. It's a gift. We don't deserve it. And his love is what makes it possible, like we sang this morning. God calls us into a relationship with him through faith, active faith. It's not a question of agreeing with a set of statements and checking them off and signing your name, like you would if you were getting a job. It's about aligning our lives with who he is, with who he has shown us who he is. Being fully persuaded that he doesn't lie, he doesn't trick, he doesn't deceive us. What would he gain from doing that? But we align ourselves with the God of unending love and abounding faithfulness. Even like a child has to be trained up in the way he should go, that never stops. We too have to be trained up in God's ways. That's why the Bible was never intended to be a dust collector. It's not, you know, I bet in a lot of our homes, the television remote has less dust on it than our Bibles. But it's the Bible that can change and impact our life in ways that we can't imagine. It was never meant to be a place where you would hide family heirlooms. It's meant to be read, and not just read, but digested and observed and honored and integrated into our lives and passed on to our kids. This is why church isn't just something to do on a Sunday morning. Church isn't any man's idea. Church is Jesus' idea. He said, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. So church is a community of people who have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Together, collectively, in harmony with God, who has revealed himself through his word, we come together to strengthen and pass on those values and truths to our kids, that they're not an accident. They've been made with an intention and a purpose. And we're here as shepherds, as parents, to help guide, oversee, and lead them so that they can be blossomed into the master plan that God has designed for them. If you've relegated your relationship with God to a closet somewhere, if what dominates your time and your energy is work or finances or paying the bills or vacation or having a good time, maybe it's time to do a little deep cleaning. Maybe it's time to get him back out of the closet and back into the driver's seat. Moses heard those words right from God himself. The Lord is still the God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in reliable, you can count on it every morning, faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. That about covers it all, doesn't it? He covers it all. He doesn't excuse bad behavior, but he does forgive it. He has given us the ultimate cosmic reset button. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where we are, genuinely, truly, by faith, born again. We want you to take advantage of what this particular community of faith has to offer. That's why we dedicated today just to talk about kids and let you know about our youth program. We don't do it just so that we have something to do. We certainly don't do it just so we have something to give money to. There is no shortage of things to give money to, is there? We do it because we believe in our kids, that they've been designed by God for a reason. So when you entrust them to a program that's going on behind the curtains, you're entrusting them to people who are passionate about raising kids to follow Jesus. Enjoy a few minutes after the service with the carnival and the lunch, and take time to get to know somebody, because that's where community starts. It starts with a handshake somewhere. So get to know somebody. Enjoy the meal. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, we're so grateful for who you are, because opinions about you, wow, they overwhelm us every day. But when we go to your word and we hear what you have to say about yourself, the discussion's ended. And we come as parents in need. We confess to you, Lord, we've got lots of spots and we even have a few stars. But in you, before you, our maker, we know we have significance because of who made us, of who loves us, of who died for us, and who has a plan for us. Here we are. We submit ourselves to you. Would you teach us to go in the way that you've designed for us? And teach us to train our kids. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming today. Enjoy lunch.